Leviticus 25:10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And I'd like to welcome you this morning to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. This is a ministry of the church, and we do appreciate you listening in today. We hope you'll continue to listen in. I want to take just a moment to invite you to any or all of our services. If you don't have a regular church home and you're looking, we'd like for you to come and visit with us. We're located 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course, and we have Wednesday night prayer meeting each Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And currently I'm preaching through the book of Colossians, and we're almost done in the book of Colossians, and I'm not sure where we're going to go next, but we might finish that up in the next 2 or 3 weeks, depending on how that goes. And then on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. we have Sunday school for all ages, and then our Sunday morning worship service at 11 o'clock. And we'd love for you to come and to be with us in any of those services. Second and fourth Sunday night, we have at 6 p.m. a Sunday evening service, and usually we will have a missionary or maybe a guest preacher, or maybe I'll have something special on my heart. And so lots of opportunities to worship the Lord together. One of the main ministries of our church would be the support of missions to get the gospel out into all the world. And we're very excited and thankful for what the Lord does through the missionary program of the church. And we love that opportunity. And that's what we are supposed to be doing. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we would love to invite you to come and be with us. I want to mention before I get started today that if you are interested in furthering your Bible education, we have a wonderful opportunity. That's the VBC Bible Institute. There's several ways you can become involved and become a student. And in 3 years, you can get your bachelor's degree. And this is where I went to school many years ago. In fact, Noah was just a baby when I went through. And he probably doesn't like me saying that, but he's a big fellow now and working here on the radio station and helping me a great deal. And we certainly are very thankful for that. But VBC is a wonderful opportunity for missionaries, pastors. I know when I went to school, I was pastoring. I was working full-time, and then I went to school as well. You can go to Rome Mountain, Tennessee, and be in the classes, what we call live, or you can go on the Internet. You can go through correspondence. Satellite school is available. In fact, we do that as a ministry at Mount Lebanon. On Thursday nights, we have the VBC Bible Institute by satellite school. And satellite school starts 1 week, or is actually goes 1 week behind the normal schedule. But this starts back June the 12th. If you're interested, you can find out more information. You can go to www.vbcministries.org. That's www.vbcministries.org. Or you can call Dr. Jerry Honeycutt, 423-772-3848. That's 423-772-3848. Noah, do you remember the church phone number?
Not off the top of my head.
Can you look it up?
Yes, I'll look.
We'll give you the church phone number, and you can call me if you want to look. Well, let's see. I might have it here in my phone. Isn't that wonderful? And I don't. But anyway, I think it's 963-4506. 963-4506. I don't know. I don't want to mess anybody up. But anyway, school's going to be starting back. And Noah, he'll look up the phone number there, and I'll give it to you. You could call me and ask me about it. But this spring semester is going to start. It's going to be New Testament Survey Part 2. Brother Tull Oaks is going to be teaching that. The book of Revelation is going to be taught by Brother Kenneth Forbes, and then I'll be teaching missions and evangelism, and that starts back June 12th, or if you go to satellite school, June 19th. That's vbcministries.org. And if you go to the church website, no, you got it there.
I have it. Our church phone number is 828-963-4596.
I was off one.
It's yes.
4596. So you can call me, tell you more information about the school there. Noah wasn't in here last week. He was busy doing something else. But, no, it's good to have you today.
It's good to be here. It's good to be back. We want to say how much we appreciate our listeners, those who are listening in on AM 1450 WATA, and those who are listening in on AM 690 and WZAP in Bristol, Virginia.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and we want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and hope you have a wonderful time with your family, friends, church family, whoever it is you're going to be spending Christmas with this year. Now, I'm going to continue on where I left off last week, and I was in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 21, 22, 23, and I've been talking for several weeks now about revival, and I made the case last time that if you just look around in society, it's hard to have much hope for revival. But if you look in the Bible, what you find is revival comes in the darkest of times. And there's several instances of that in the Word of God, and that's one that we're looking at. We're looking about at the place in the Bible where King Josiah was king over Israel, over Judah, actually. And we see King Josiah, there was a revival in his day, and it was a very dark day when King Josiah was the king. Now, last week I said some things, and we pointed out from the scripture here about what it was like during Josiah's day. And it was a day when there was much idolatry in the land. There was a lot of paganism, heathenism, lots of names we could throw out there today. But it was just idolatry, astrology, spiritism flourished during the days of King Josiah. It was a result of actually his grandfather, Manasseh, who had been king for 55 years, and he was a very, very wicked man. And so through his influence, there was a great deal of wickedness in the land. And so we've seen over there how much idolatry flourished. Just for example, in chapter 21 and verse number 6, the Bible said he made his son to pass through the fire. He observed times, he used enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And so Manasseh, his wicked influence, it infiltrated all of society. There was much turning away from God during those days. It was a day when innocent blood was shed. Chapter 21 and verse number 16. The Bible says over there, moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another beside his sin, wherewith he made Judah to sin in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And it was a day when there was, as the Bible says there, much innocent blood was shed. We liken that unto abortion in America. If that's not innocent blood, I don't know what is. We also said that the temple was in disrepair in chapter 22 and verse number 5. They were working on repairing the temple of the Lord. They had hired workers to work there and to repair the breaches of the house. That means that you could actually, there was holes in the house of the Lord. You could look through and see light on the other side of the wall in places. And it had totally fallen into a state of disrepair. We said they lost the Bible in the church. It said in verse number 8, Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And so here they were carrying on being religious, but they did not have actually a copy of the law, the Old Testament commandments, the book of the law. They'd lost track of it. Can you imagine losing track of the Bible, carrying on, going about your religion, saying you worship the God of heaven, but actually not having a copy of the Word of God? That's hard for us to imagine because there's so many Bibles in the world, even, and in America, and it'd be hard for us. But, you know, if we have the Bible and we don't follow the Bible, we might as well say we've lost the Bible in the church. That's how they were. It was a terrible state, spiritually speaking, in King Josiah's reign. We talked about they couldn't find anybody that could tell them the will of God. We talked about how that false religion flourished. This is something that I did not get to last week, but I want to quickly point out today before going on. During King Josiah's reign, the homosexuals were out of the closet. It abounded during King Josiah's reign. Now, whether you like it or not, this is a sin that brings the judgment of God upon any nation that condones it. The Bible said in chapter 23 and verse number 7, now we're skipping ahead a little bit here, but this is what King Josiah did about the sin of homosexuality. It said he broke down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. And the Sodomites had become so bold in their sinfulness that they had houses right beside the house of the Lord. They had become very comfortable, very accepted around the things of God. And they had become very religious. Well, Josiah, he broke down the houses. He outlawed it. He did away with it totally, completely. And then last of all, we'll say before moving on that they rejected the preaching of the Word of God. Maybe you heard what I said just a moment ago, and you said in your heart, I don't want to hear that. I don't believe that. I reject that. Well, you know what? That is exactly the way it was in King Josiah's day. In fact, there's one of my favorite Old Testament prophets. His name is Jeremiah, and the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 2, it says about Jeremiah, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, the king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. And so Jeremiah prophesied during the days of Josiah. And the Lord had told Jeremiah when he called him to be a prophet, he said in chapter 1 and verse 17, thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. And he said in verse 19, this is how God called Jeremiah to preach. He said, they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. God told Jeremiah, he said, I want you to be a prophet. I want you to go to them, tell them what I tell you, but they're going to fight against you. And most pastors that preach the Bible, the Word of God today, they would agree with me what a fight it is, what a struggle it is, how many people there are that don't want to hear it, don't want to hear the Word of God. Well, that's exactly the way it was in Josiah's day. But they had revival in the darkest of day. When it looked like it was impossible to have revival, when it looked like it was impossible for God to do anything to bless the nation, they had revival. And I want to point out just a few things in the time remaining today that fostered or brought about this revival during Josiah's day. And I've said many times before, and before I move on today, I'm going to say it again. Revival is the only hope that America has of surviving, even. Maybe not even as a nation, but as a people. If we don't have revival, I mean, it really doesn't matter who the president is if the people are in total spiritual darkness and rebellion against God. It wouldn't matter if you brought George Washington back from the dead and put him in it as president. That is not what we need in America. It does not matter how good our economy is if we have turned our back on God and we live our lives in spiritual darkness. Doesn't matter how rich we are. We're just rich pagans. We're just rich heathenism, rich in our heathenism. We need revival in our nation. We need revival in our churches. That is, I'm thoroughly convinced, our greatest need in America and in the churches. Well, here's what brought about that revival. In chapter 22, in verse number 2, we need a righteous person. We see here Josiah. And the Bible says in verse number 2, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the way of David his father and turned not aside to the right hand nor to the left. We need a righteous person. And we see here that King Josiah, he was the key to this revival. He had his mind made up that he was going to do what was right. Revival never starts with the masses. Congress is not going to pass a resolution that we need revival in America. We're not going to have revival from any political party. That is not what we need. Revival doesn't start with the masses. It's not going to come out of Hollywood. It's not going to come out of the NFL or anything like that. It starts with individuals. And we see Josiah here in chapter number 22. It says in verse number 1, Josiah was 8 years old. And then we look on down. If we were to take time to read these verses today, we would find that as he grew, this is not something that happened in his life in 1 year or in 5 years or in 10 years, but it happened over a period of time. And Josiah reigned 31 years. This revival God brought about in his lifetime. He started wanting to follow the Lord when he was 8 years old. We see him as a young person. We see him later on in his life. God did a work in his life because he made his mind up that he was going to do right in the sight of God. And he did that. And we need a righteous person. We need some people that'll make up their minds. You know what? I'm going to follow God. And I'll tell you, I really like this young man, this football player. Now, revival, I said a minute ago, it's not going to come out of the NFL. But I really appreciate and value the young man, Tim Tebow, who just has told everybody, basically, whether they like it or whether they don't, he has come out and said, God is the most important person in my life. I am going to serve him. I'm going to honor him. I'm going to pray. It doesn't matter to me what anybody thinks about it or anything else. I'll tell you, we need some people in our day and time, and you don't have to be a professional football player to make up your mind that you're going to serve God. Now, there's a lot of professional athletes that say they're Christians, but here's somebody who's said, I'm going to put God first, and it really doesn't matter to me whether you like it or not. We need some people that has an attitude like that. A righteous person was key to this revival. Then, second of all, there has to be a revival desired. In verses 3 through 7, the Lord showed me something there, and I don't have time to bring it all out today. You'd have to read the verses, but in 2 Kings chapter 22 and verses 3 through 7, they desired to see the temple restored to its former glory. And so they hired the workers to come in and work on the temple and bring it back to be what it was originally designed to be. They wanted to restore the temple and see it brought back to its former glory. And as I was studying about revival, the Lord showed me some things about that, a spiritual lesson that we could apply in the church. I don't believe we'll ever have revival in our churches until we get concerned about the condition of the church. I'm talking about my church. I'm saying you need to look at your church. Where are you at in relationship to the Lord? Does the desire of the people, is the desire of the people to walk with God and please God and have a holy life pleasing unto the Lord? Or are you just going through the motions? You know, the Bible talks about having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And when you repair something, if you'll notice here in this passage of Scripture, they had to throw some things away. They had to repair some things, build some things back up. There needs to be some throwing away, some building up in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they desired to do that. They desired to repair the house of the Lord and see it restored to its former glory. Revival as far as a lot of people are concerned, they're just words. And a lot of people don't even know really what revival is. But I'll tell you, in the church, the glory of the Lord used to be there, and power and conviction and revival. And so there was a revival desired. And then in verse number 8, I'm going to read this verse. There was a rediscovering of the Bible. This is the place in the Bible where they found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Now, let me read. Verse 8 says, "And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it." And as I said earlier, they had lost the Bible in the church. They were going through the motions. They didn't even have a copy of the Word of God. But they found this book of the law of the Lord, and they found it, and they read it. We need to rediscover the Bible in our churches. Now, most people have a Bible, carry a Bible, know a little bit about the Bible. But I'll tell you, the saints of old loved the Word of God, read, memorized the Bible, held it near and dear unto their hearts. The songs that we sing in church that are most loved by the people of God came out of a generation that loved the Bible more than they loved the things of the world. Well, our greatest songs came from a time when they didn't even have TV. They didn't even have radio. They didn't have all these things that pull us away from the things of God today. And the first and foremost thing in their lives was the Word of God. And if we don't love the Word of God, it can be a closed book unto us. If we read it with a closed mind and closed spirit, if we read it as a judge upon the Word of God, meaning you pick up the Bible, well, I don't know if I believe that or not. I'll tell you, the Bible's going to be a closed book to that type of an attitude. People would never be offended at the preaching of the Word of God if they just knew what the Bible said and they loved what the Bible said. But if you take the Bible, you take any subject that you are studying out, and you submit to God and say, "Lord, I want to know what your word says," the Lord will bless you from the Word of God. They rediscovered the Bible. Oh, if we could rediscover the Bible in this day and time, we could have revival and fall in love with the Word of God. Be like Jeremiah was. He said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart." And so, a rediscovering of the Bible. There must be a reception to the message of the Bible. The Bible said there in chapter 22 and verse 11, when they found the Word of God, and he delivered it to Shaphan, and he read it. Verse 10 says, "Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king." So Shaphan, the high priest, the scribe, he reads the Word of God to the king. And verse 11 says, "And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes." There must be a reception of the biblical message. And when Josiah heard this book of the law, and from what I've studied out about this, this was probably the section of the Bible over in the book of Deuteronomy, that long list of that where God says, "If you obey me, I'll bless you. If you disobey me, I'll curse you. I'll curse you in the field. I'll curse you in your work. I'll curse you in your family and in your home. And other nations will come in and destroy you." And when Josiah heard the law of God, he rent his clothes. He clothed himself in sackcloth and ashes, and he repented at what he heard there. He said, "If this is the Word of God, we have really messed up and we're really in trouble." I'm going to skip on down and read verse number 19 over there. The Bible says, this is what the Lord said to Josiah. Now in verse 11, he rent his clothes. In verse number 19, God said to Josiah, "Because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and has rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. When God saw that Josiah was serious about getting right with God, then God gave them a measure of revival in the land. He said, when you heard what I spake against this place and the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse. Do you know, if we are really honest with what's going on in America, and we see that, you know, I seen an article in the newspaper just a little while back, a few weeks ago, that said that the year 2011 was the most expensive year in the history of the world concerning disasters that had happened. I mean, in America, it's been one thing after another after another. But who will stand up today and say, you know, could it be that we're reaping the judgment of God? Could it be that God is trying to get our attention? And boy, if we don't turn back to Him, we're in a mess. We're lost. We're done for as a nation. Oh, if we could hear the Word of God and see and apply it to our hearts and lives today. And that's what Josiah did. He didn't say, oh, that dusty old book, that's old, that's ancient, that doesn't apply to us. God wouldn't bring about judgment. We're His people. He loves us. No, when Josiah heard the Word of God and he seen the writing on the wall, he said, we're in a mess. And he wept and he cried before the Lord. We need some who will stand in the gap and make up a hedge and intercede on the behalf of the nation today. And so there was a reception of the message of God, and there was a real repentance in Josiah's heart and in his life, and his attitude and his actions affected those that were around him. If you study out the Bible, you'll find that there was the prophet Jeremiah, there was the prophet Habakkuk also, who prophesied at that time, and he said, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. And so there was more than one person that was praying and asking that God would give revival in that darkest of days. And so they had a measure of revival in King Josiah's day. There's several things, and I don't have time to go through it, but that showed that their repentance was real. And let me say, if there's no real repentance, turning back to God, then there's will never be a real revival. But the people came out. They made a covenant with God. They said, we've been living wickedly. We're going to change our ways. You know, my time's about gone today, but I read in the newspaper this morning, there's a interfaith group and clergy protesting Lowe's Hardware because Lowe's withdrew its advertising for this show, All American Muslim. You know, once upon a time in America, Christians would have rejoiced over what is right being done. But now Christians come out, people who say they're Christians, and they defend that which is wrong, and they doubt that which is right. We're messed up in our country. We're messed up in our churches. But I commend Lowe's for pulling the advertising for what basically is propaganda to promote the Islamic religion in America. Well, if it's false, then it's false, and nothing's going to make it right. Well, my time is quickly going. But they repented. They made a covenant with God. They reintroduced true worship. Real revival brings a church, a people, a nation back to God. We know what the Word of God says. Blessed is the nation whose God is Allah. No, that's not what it says. Whose God is the Lord. And that's the God of the Bible. And the God of the Bible is not Allah. He's not Confucius. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the only way. And so we bring you the message today. We've been talking about revival. We hope you have a wonderful Christmas, a happy new year, and all of those things. Keep us in your prayers. And we do appreciate you listening to the Old Paths broadcast today. Noah's going to give the
blessings of liberty.
Blessings of liberty. I'm surprised I hadn't done that before.
Yeah.
Noah's going to give you the contact information for all Blessings right. of Liberty.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.